Blog Talk Radio.
But that was last year. A year later, and here we are. And, you know, considered one of the best trades in NFL history, if not the best trade in NFL history, was the Herschel Walker to Minnesota trade that Jimmy Johnson leveraged to, you know, a Super Bowl team that won three Super Bowls, two under his leadership, and then a third, pretty much the same roster under Barry Switzer. That's been considered probably the best trade in the history of the NFL. And then recently we had Russell Wilson to the Broncos. And if you look to see what the Broncos gave up for Russell Wilson, and now Russell Wilson is a Steeler, and pretty much the Broncos are paying Russell Wilson about $39 million to go play for Pittsburgh this year. Turns out that that was probably the worst trade in NFL history. So we've gone from years ago, a little over 30 years ago, the best trade, to a couple of years ago, the worst trade, to now, I don't know where to classify this most recent move. But we've got the guys to analyze it. We've got the guys to talk about it. Special edition of the Madden Boys. And, oh, by the way, we're also going to talk about what the fuck Cowboys. We're going to touch on that as well. So we probably got arguably the best crew assembled to talk about probably the most talked about three teams in free agency: the Steelers, the Bears, and the motherfucking Cowboys. We've got Dr. Train, we've got JB, and we've got Madden Nation himself, K-Star. Gentlemen, fellas, welcome back to the Madden Boys.
What up, what up?
Feels so good to be back.
All in on 13. Let's go.
Woo! Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
You know, Jay, you and I have had the benefit of being on the show with these guys, you know, and watching Train go through heartache and misery with the Bears. You know, since Ben retired, we watched, you know, K-Star go through, you know, his situation with the Steelers. You know, both guys going through stuff this year while we went into the playoffs with a number two seed. We won't talk about how that was the total waste. But now, Jay, we sit here kind of nowhere, lost, while these two guys are sitting there high-fiving each other, happy as can be. I'm going to start with you before we get Train and K-Star. Jay, how you feeling right now with free agency? How do you feel?
Piggyback off of your analogy with K-Star and Dr. Train. You ever feel like that kid in elementary school that's sprouting up and basically in the 99th percentile and seeing the tops of everybody's heads, and then you get into middle school and start to get into high school, and next thing you know, the folks that you were looking at the top of their heads are not looking at the top of your head? I kind of feel like that right about now. It kind of sucks, to be honest with you. It really does. I know that the Cowboys aren't ones to make huge free agency splashes over the last few years. I get all of that. But at the same time, when you have a team that was a number two seed, you have a team that did have a playoff game hosted at home and have big expectations going into your postseason because you have such a talented roster. You have an all-pro quarterback playing the best football of his career, and you have a defense that, although, yes, the running game could use some help, did lose our top corner, was still a very, very solid defense. To bow out the way we did and to have nothing shown for a sense of urgency, especially when you hear Jerry Jones talking about we're going all in. All in what? All in the deep end to take a nap? All in to a whole bunch of melatonin to take go to sleep? I don't know what they're doing, but something has to give. You have an influx of talent leaving. Gallimore left. Tyron Smith left. Several other key players have left to go play with the Commanders under Coach Quinn. And you're not doing anything to replace it. You're not making a big splash. You haven't gone in to handle that contract, which should have been paramount because that's really the piece that makes everything else fit together, getting rid of that or somehow reducing that cap figure. So to have nothing happen, even given the fact that they're not known for big splashes, is very concerning for me. Even hearing him talk about him being Jerry Jones, we're going to go all in, and I'm not seeing anything, very concerned. I don't like the fact that we're sitting pat when this is a time to actively go out and bring in talent, actively go out and at least that you have in, i.e. getting that contract done, i.e. getting CeeDee Lamb's contract done. Those kinds of things should have, in my opinion, should have already been done by now. So to not hear of anything like that, like I said, very concerning.
I have nothing to add at this point. I'm going to jump now to the Steelers and the Bears. That's disgusting.
Damn, I wrapped it all up? Oh, shit, we must be in tonight.
Yeah, I know. So let's start with K-Star. The first news was that you guys signed Russell Wilson. We were all on a text exchange. You were very excited that you signed Russell Wilson. We certainly talked about the possibility on this very show. We batted it around, and I believe it was JB who sent the first text saying, K-Star, you might get your wish. And then the next thing you know, it became reality. So we that one wasn't a surprise. It was a pleasant development for you and your Steelers, but the Bears trading – not trading Justin Fields, kind of thought that could happen. I think anybody saw him going to Pittsburgh. K-Star, what do you think? How do you feel? Talk to us.
Man, I feel great. Thank you for asking me this question. I feel fantastic. You know, you go from a quarterback room. You know, we also traded away Kenny Pickett within the same span of two days. It was kind of crazy. We went from a quarterback room of Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and I mean, that's a huge upgrade. You know, they may not be the best quarterbacks in the league, but they're certainly beyond, they're both playmaking quarterbacks, and then they have the potential to ascend into upper tier based off talent, and for Russell's case, previous showcasing. So, you know, for the Steelers to get a playmaker quarterback, to get an upgrade, a legitimate upgrade at the position, a meaningful one from the previous year, it makes me really excited, and also dumping Kenny Pickett also makes me excited because he showed nothing, and the reason why that even happened was because he apparently was acting like a little bitch when the Steelers got Russell Wilson lack of better analysis for you, canceling throwing sessions with receivers upon his arrival, just really being a crybaby, and we got rid of him too, and it made room for Justin Fields, who's a better player than Kenny Pickett at this stage of their careers. So I'm really excited. I'm very excited. I'm not sure what the plan is beyond this year, but I know that they want Russell to start, and that's the game plan. And I guess he'll be developing young Justin as well. So I'm pretty excited.
So
last but no uncertain terms, not least, the Dr. Train himself. Dr. Train is in the house. Dr. Train was excited about the drafting of Justin Fields, as excited as we've heard him in years, and that didn't quite materialize the way he had hoped, but now we say Fields is gone. Looks like Caleb is in. Dr. Train, how are you feeling about the Bears movement?
Man, great. You know, it's still it's only a little bit bittersweet because, honestly, you know, if any Bears fan could tell you they could have it, you wanted Justin Fields to work out. You wanted Fields to be the guy. There's a lot to like about the dude and his character, and he wasn't quite cutting it. And it's compounded when you're sitting here with the top pick of the draft, and there's a guy coming out whose ceiling is higher than the guy that you have, or potential ceiling, or better words to use. But yeah, so those two things compounded. I'm glad he got to go where he wanted to go. So they asked him, and you know his agent said he wanted to go to. Wanted to go to Pittsburgh, so they sent him to Pittsburgh. And for us, we get Caleb Williams. Too excited. Over
so
excited.
I want to ask all three of you the same question. With what you know right now, it's actually two questions, but I want all three of you to answer. With what you know right now, who would your starting quarterback be week one in Pittsburgh? And do you think that will be your same starting quarterback week 17 in Pittsburgh? So let's start with you, Train.
Oh, man. I think week one it has to be Russell Wilson. And no, I don't think he's the guy by week 17. But I think Justin really needs to take a quick back seat and see some things that he struggles with that Russell Wilson can help him with. But it's going to be hard to keep the athleticism and the excitement that he brings on the bench all season. It's going to be hard to do that. They're going to want to get him out there.
Okay. JB, you next. Same question.
I think it's going to be Wilson all the way through, barring injury, just because I think he has something to prove. I think the bad taste that he left in the mouth at Seattle, combined with an even worse taste in Denver, I think really has a bit of chip on his shoulder. And he's going to have a bit of the same setup he had at Seattle where he was having success. A dominant defense, and I think the Steeler defense is the upper half for sure. And O-line is stout. And I think he has the same remedy of success that he had back in Seattle. And I think he's going to want to win.
A lot of background noise, yeah.
I think that might be Train.
Wait, what happened?
Yeah. Somebody had background noise. So it's gone.
I didn't change anything. Yeah, I didn't touch anything.
So it must have been JP. Okay.
No. It wasn't me.
It wasn't you? Or was it?
No.
Okay. All right. It's gone. So that's all that matters. So, JB, I heard you. You said Russell Wilson all the way through. Okay. K-Star's your team. You know, what would you do?
So, hey, T, real quick, K-Star, before you answer.
Yeah.
See, I just want to add, let me just add one more thing. Only thing I will add is he will be going into his fourth year. The Steelers have till May 3rd to pick up his fifth-year option. So, basically, are you taking the guy and knowing that you need to determine whether he's going to be your guy forever? So basically, you would have traded a pick for nothing if you don't use him this year, and as if you do not pick up his fifth year option by May 3rd. But that's just part of my reason for him eventually hitting the field.
Okay. Okay, so K-Star, same question. Your team, what would you do?
I think Russell's going to play for the whole year, and the only reason I believe that isn't because Steelers, you know, would be reluctant. I think it's because he's going to play well in a setting in which we talked about a couple of weeks ago as why it's a setting in which he can succeed in and revive his career with a strong defense, with a really strong offensive line play, with a really strong running attack. I think the situation where Russell would really have to play really bad to give up that position to a degree where it was as bad, if not worse, than in Denver, because the Steelers are just set up to where Russell's game should thrive, and the motivation and incentive is certainly there for that to happen. And I just think he's going to succeed with the parts around him. I don't think he has to do a whole lot. I just think he has to play well and play, you know, the way he played in Seattle, which low passing volume offense, great defense, receivers in midfield. I just think it's a situation where he's going to play well, like really well. Now, to be honest here, I don't know, but I imagine that they want Justin and play longer term, but I think this year is definitely Russell Wilson make or break season for him.
Okay. So I will say this. I haven't said much yet. Don't really have much to say. But I will say this. I think the move to bring in Fields and Wilson together is one of the best moves I've ever seen in the NFL. Now, remains to be seen how it will play out from what Pittsburgh had, you know, just you know, 30 days or so ago to where you are now. And then to think about play styles to mobile athletic quarterbacks. You've got a borderline Hall of Fame, you know, Super Bowl champion quarterback. Say what you want about Russell Wilson and not doing well in Denver, but the guy is a leader. The guy, you know, he doesn't complain. He doesn't, you know, I think about quarterbacks like Cam Newton and some of the quarterbacks that, you know, pouted and had attitudes. And, you know, never that with Russell Wilson. Always tried to be, you know, the right kind of player, the right kind of leader. Even under Sean Payton's tyrannical, that's the word, leadership. And so, you know, you're bringing in a good leader, a good guy, and a guy who has played at a high level, and then a high draft pick to sit behind him. Bringing in someone who was highly recruited, highly sought after, you know, before he was picked up by the Bears. And I think Cleveland, Baltimore, and Cincinnati better watch their ass. I mean, you know, Cleveland, you know, Deshaun Watson has not yet, because of injury, delivered. And I know he's been injured. Lamar Jackson, two MVPs, hadn't done anything in the postseason yet. And Joe Burrow, another one that's injured, oft injured. And so they better watch, because I think this is one of the best moves I've ever seen. I mean, I come from a team that 30 years ago actually had two, you know, top quarterbacks in there with Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh. And I watched, and it probably wasn't handled as – you learn a lot, you know. Jimmy Johnson was a new coach, and he tried to keep them both for a season. But ultimately, got rid of Walsh for some good draft picks, and that was part of what built Dallas. And Troy Aikman became a legend, Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champion. So, you know, with the picks, with the Steelers organization and their history of greatness, and Tomlin still not having had a losing season. I mean, think about it. Tomlin's going into his 18th season, no losing season. Belichick is unemployed. Let that sink in for a minute.
And he did it without Ben.
And yes.
So let that sink in for a minute. And now they go out and get a Super Bowl winning quarterback who clearly still has, look at his numbers, he still has something left in the tank, and a first number one draft pick just a few years ago to sit behind him to learn and possibly be your quarterback of the future. Man, K-Star, you know, if you ain't been T-bowing and breakdancing out there, then I don't know what would give you.
Well, I am, man. This was like a dream scenario. I thought that at best we get one of these two. And it's something we talked about, but to get both of them, especially at cost and how we got them, Russell Wilson, one-year deal, $1 cap hit, same thing with Justin Fields. And, Justin Fields, he said that the player that he modeled his game after watching the game was Russell Wilson. So, you have a guy, you have two motivated players with something to prove who one of the younger guys can learn from the Super Bowl winning quarterback paired with Mike Tomlin, who was a player-friendly coach who, as we talked about, Russell Wilson thrived with Pete Carroll, another player-friendly coach, and you get, an organization that obviously believes in these two to take risks on these two, and, I think Tomlin is in a situation where he can really improve on the Steelers record and just the team build in the future, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, and thank you, Ryan Poles, for not letting Justin Fields hang around uncertain any longer because, I became a Justin Fields fan when I saw an interview and they said, why did you unfollow the Chicago Bears on social media? And he said, I got tired of hearing about me. I got tired of it. I unfollowed the NFL, but nobody noticed that. I'm at the point where just tell me what we're doing. That's all. Whatever we're doing. You're keeping me great. You're trading me great. Whatever it is, I just want to know. But every time I go on social media, I'm the first topic of conversation. Well, I got tired of that. There's nothing against the Bears organization. I love the Bears. I hope to stay here. I hope we can work this out. But I understand it's the business. I understand that it may not work out that way. Okay, whatever it is, just tell me what you're going to do. That's what I saw the interview. That's what he said. Just tell me. And I was like, man, what, 23, whatever he is? Man.
Maturity.
Sure. And then they did it. They found a place for him to go. We're still a month out from the draft. Now he's all set. He knows where he's going to be. So congratulations on the Bears. Now, Train, back to you now. So we move on from Justin Fields. We look forward. Caleb, now let me just ask this because no one's really asking this question. I watch all the shows, but, I don't watch a lot of college football, but I watch enough to be dangerous. And I know there's three quarterbacks. I know there's three. And I guess we'll get JB to chime in, too. I think he probably watches more college football. I know K-Star watches some, too, but probably watches more than all of us. But I'm curious, Train, is this a done deal that it's Caleb? We just lost K-Star. Is this a done deal? Is there any chance, I think, Jay, the other guy, is Jaden? Jaden, is it Daniels or something like that?
Yep.
But is this a done deal? There's no chance that either of the other two top quarterbacks can slide in. No, they're not looking at them. It's Caleb all the way, Caleb or bust.
If Poles has played everything right as he done so far, it is a done deal. It's Caleb. We're not talking about the other guy. They're all right. They did their thing, but it's Caleb. You don't do all this and take the other guy.
And JB, is that the right move? I mean, K-Star, I got your back live. I saw you drop, but I got your back. JB, K-Star. JB, so Caleb is the move? I mean, I've heard a lot of these so-called experts talking about that Jaden guy is just as good, and I don't know, and hurry up, don't go, but I'm asking you. Is Caleb the generational talent? Is he the right move for the Bears?
I think he's the right move myself. like I had said before in prior discussions about him, his productivity dropped off a little bit this past year because he had more on his plate. He didn't have as strong an O-line as he did in his prior season. So when you don't have a strong O-line, you're running for your life quite a bit, your numbers are going to tail off. It's just natural from a quarterback position. There's a lot of talk about Jaden Daniels. He was the Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU. Slight build, like a little bit bigger than Bryce Young, but not by much. A lot of talk about Drake May out of, I think, North Carolina. I didn't get a chance to see him as much as I wanted to, but I saw enough of Caleb Williams to feel comfortable picking him. And I think no matter what the Bears do, if they pick Caleb Williams, no matter how much success he has or doesn't have for whatever reason, I don't think anybody is going to look at them and say, why the hell did you pick them? For me personally, that would be my pick.
Okay. So sticking with the free agency theme, start with UK Star. If it's another move by your team, that's fine. But is there any other move in the entire NFL, the free agency, that you heard about and you're like, oh, shit, didn't see that one coming? Now, obviously, we've talked about Fields and Russell and Kenny Pickett. So those are three we don't have to. But outside of those three moves, is there any other move? Could be your team, could be another team that you saw and you're like, wow, I did not see that one coming.
A couple of jump in mind. I'll just rail through them real quick. Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. I did not expect him to go to the Eagles.
Bruh.
Yeah, I know. The Calvin Ridley one came out in left field for the Titans. I didn't hear about them being in contention for him, and it just seems kind of weird. They traded away A.J. Brown a few years ago because they didn't want to pay him all that money, and then they paid the older receiver all that money in Calvin Ridley. And then I think one of the most underrated ones was Marquise Brown signing with the Chiefs. He can play a little bit, and obviously any receiver help to the Chiefs is always something we want to take notice in because of how – proficient Patrick Mahomes is, and I think he can be a pretty good player for them, unfortunately. But those are the three that jump off the top of my head that kind of surprised me.
Man, let me answer that question. In case I ain't watched enough free agency to answer that question, right? The move that should have been the most surprising fucking move out of all the moves is the Green Bay Packers cutting Aaron Jones and signing Josh Jacobs. Ain't nobody see that shit coming. Jones was killing it for the most.
Yeah,
Blake Lilly snatched a rug out from under that. Like, hey, we appreciate what you did, but it ain't enough, dog. We going to keep it moving.
But it ain't enough.
Man, I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm surprised K-Star didn't jump in and talk about Patrick Queen going to the Steelers from the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to be too biased, but, yeah, Patrick Queen, I mean – bro, that was huge.
I told you he didn't watch free agency enough, man. He's doing something else.
I knew about Patrick. Listen, I talk about Patrick Queen signing, all right? I know what's going on in Pittsburgh, okay?
I mean, shit, I didn't see that one with binoculars.
No, I didn't either. I'm a Raven. I mean, you know, all-pro linebacker. Listen, man, the Steelers are looking nice. But, yeah, that's one of the – get some attention on some other teams.
I don't ever miss a chance to be biased. When I can bloviate about my car,
right.
I'm a bloviate. You know, so you take this opportunity.
You're right, you're right.
I have nothing to bloviate about right now, though. Zero. But when I can,
Damn thing.
Nothing.
Well,
zero.
While we talk about being biased, I did not see Keenan Allen coming to Chicago. I'm like, no way they're going to trade. They're going to trade more draft capital. Because I'm like, damn, now we're down to four picks. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm going to tell you that. That one right there was as far as surprising, but again, kudos to the Bears. Like, y'all ain't sitting back saying, you know what I mean? Like, y'all building. That's what you're supposed to do. Building. Free agency. Building. Sorry, am I getting a little angry? That great move. Great. Keenan Allen, that's 100 catches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Wait for Caleb Williams to come in there and have him and DJ Moore together.
There was seven receivers with 90 plus catches last year. The Bears now have two of them on their roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and what I really like is you know, you look at the North, NFC North, and it's like everybody wants to talk about Green Bay because of what they did to Dallas. Everybody wants to talk about Detroit. And, you know, and it's like, you know, Minnesota lost Kirk Cousins. You guys were right. He went to Atlanta.
Stay
it's a good
purgatory.
Call. Yeah. Our last show, I had my dates all wrong. You guys were telling me what was going to happen. I'm sitting there, well, if it was going to happen, why didn't it already happen? Well, it couldn't happen. So I was dead wrong on that. I missed the boat on that one. So you guys nailed it. Good job. And literally exactly what you guys all said about, you know, going to Atlanta, his family's from Atlanta, his wife's family and all, that's what he said. But now Minnesota, what they going to do, right? So now all of a sudden, you know, you talked about Green Bay letting Aaron Jones go, right? Guy who totally tore up Dallas and has played very well. And they're like, pack your bags, bro. You out of here. Josh Jacobs, who's you know, okay, yep. And the Bears said, hold on. Everybody hold our beer. Because you think we going to sit back? Nah, motherfuckers. So I'm really impressed that two teams that were both, even though, you know, the Steelers went to the playoffs, still a fairly mediocre team last year, Bears even worse than that, and both of you guys' teams stepped up and said, hold my beer. We about to shake this fucking NFL up. And so kudos to both your teams. Kudos.
You know what's cool about this, by the way, is if Justin Fields does become the Steelers quarterback of the future, you know, it'll be nice to have that Bears-Steelers interaction and dialogue between myself, happy and trained, maybe bitter, about how the Justin Fields thing played out. But as long as Caleb Williams, hold on, as long as Caleb Williams does his thing,
it's
all good for
everyone. I just don't want you to say I'm bitter. That's don't use the word bitter. I'm not bitter. Even if it doesn't, man, I'm not bitter. I'm telling you, I'm not bitter. I know.
No, I'm saying
I know where his limits are.
If he worked out, you wouldn't be bitter. Like if you like became an all-pro player.
I know where he is because I know where he is right now. You haven't watched him play.
Trey, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he is. I'm not saying that he is.
I am answering your question. I am not bitter. No, I will not be.
So
I can't be, dude.
Here's the question. If Caleb is a bust and Justin turns out to be what you guys thought he was going to be 3 years ago, would you be bitter then?
I don't know. I can't really answer that. I don't.
Are you rooting for Justin Fields still? A better question, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I still want Justin Fields to succeed. I don't know. I want him to succeed. I really do. I mean, dude, just off GP of being a black quarterback. That's my number one thing.
Yeah,
my number one thing. That's just GP.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be bad. I'm just saying I know what you're getting, and I know what he has to do to improve, and I hope you guys can unlock it. You know, Chicago's just in a position where we can actually prove the position through the draft, and we don't have to trade anything away to get it. We've already made the trade, and it fell into our lap.
It really did.
It's the right move for the Bears. Any other team would have done the fucking same. They would have done it.
It was definitely the right move for where, I mean, it kind of fell into your lap, honestly. It's a good spot for you guys.
Any other team in the NFL would have done the same thing. That's why you know what? I know you guys are not on board with the people shitting on Chicago, but all these folks shitting on Chicago and talking about Ryan Poe, oh, why didn't you keep him? Oh, you didn't do Justin Fields right. None of the motherfuckers watched games. None of the motherfuckers broke downfield and saw what his real struggles were, but then to see the situation where if you can improve on the fucking position, you improve on the position. You don't sit there and say, well, we got him. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. That's dumb as shit. Who does that?
No one. And that's the same reason why Steelers signed Russell Wilson. They wanted to improve the position, you know, and got rid of Crowder Kenny over it. Yeah, like they tried to improve the position. The guy didn't, you know, like they, play, teams don't improve their position, period.
I'm really glad to hear Train make the comment on football fans. We always going to root for our black quarterbacks because of the history of that position. And anybody listening to the Mad Voice, if you don't know the history of the position, I'll just say this. Go Google the late Rush Limbaugh. Google Rush. Okay. Rush can synthesize the history of the black quarterback position in about 5 minutes. If you see the time that he was hired by ESPN and then subsequently fired, that'll explain why we will always root for black women. Now there's levels to this. There's levels to this, okay? We ain't crazy now, you know. I ain't gonna root for Justin Fields over Dak Prescott. That ain't gonna. Well, I don't know. Maybe, man, you know. Hold on. Let me rethink that. I'm sorry. Let me rethink that. But yeah, I'm glad to hear Train say that. And the other thing, Train, is I will co-sign your Bears and Ryan Poles in particular, but your front office got unfairly raked through the coals all season long. All season long, your organization got raked through the coals, being accused of not providing Justin Fields the right environment to be successful and not giving him the right help and all that bullshit. And I'm sitting there listening to you because I do the Madden Voice with the number one Bears fan, as far as I'm concerned, instead of just saying, have y'all watched the video? Have y'all watched the tape of him playing? The fuck you talking about? So I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Ryan Poles come in recently? Or am I wrong? Did he draft Justin Fields?
No, Ryan Poles did not draft Justin Fields. I haven't had a stage to do this on, so T, you gotta bear with me, man. And you know,
go for it, bro.
Because I have not had the stage to talk
to about
this
tonight.
Shit
at
all.
Go ahead, man. You got the floor, bro. I ain't got much to say. Floor's yours.
So all these people are talking about, oh, the Bears did Justin Fields wrong. Okay, first off, Poles didn't draft Justin Fields. Pace did. Pace did it more to fix his fucking mistake for drafting Mitch Trubisky over at minimum, my man from Clemson, Deshaun Watson. At minimum, you shouldn't have been getting Deshaun Watson. But no, you draft Mitch, the quarterback that had the least experience out of all of them. So 3 years later, you know, now you trade away draft capital because you got a fixed position and you go get Justin. So Pace drafted Justin, brought him into a system that really didn't fit him. Nagy was trash. So he brought him in wanting Dalton to be Dalton was supposed to be the starter, not Justin. Well, Dalton gets hurt. Now Justin is in that scheme. So as a rookie, you know, we're not going to put a whole lot on his shoulders. I'm like, hey, if he shows anything, man, I'm excited. And I was. But yet, they got fired at the end of the year. GM, head coach. Poles come in. Like I said, Poles didn't draft this dude. We had the top pick in the draft? No, that was after. But anyway, Poles come in. He's coming into a team that's old, with no talent, and no money. What do y'all want him to do? just accept it? So he trades Khalil Mack. He ends up trading Roquan, you know, because he wanted to keep Roquan, but they couldn't agree on dollars, so he trades Roquan. He eventually trades Robert Quinn. You know, he had to break the team down. He didn't have a choice. You know, you can call it tanking and call it whatever, but the dude had to fix what Pace left behind. So that freed up cap. They gave us back our draft picks because we didn't have any. He had to go into his first draft without a first round draft pick. So he did what he did. Justin didn't have much that first year on the post. That first year with Getsy. Nope, didn't have much. Agreed to it all day. But this year, he trades away the top draft pick when he could have when he got a quarterback, but he said, nope, I'm going to stick with Justin. And he made that the minute the offseason hit. He let people know, I'm sticking with Justin. So the top pick was for trade to whoever wanted. It goes to Carolina. All right? But in the midst of that trade, we get DJ Moore. We also get the right the rookie right tackle, which had a good season, and a couple of draft picks, but they have nothing to do with the offense. So he did some things to make the offensive line better. It was not the worst in the league. He got him DJ Moore, who had over 1,300 yards receiving, over 90 catches. So he gave him a target. Cole Kmet played better. Justin Fields didn't have anything? Really? He had enough to win the games against the schedule we had. And we all know your strength of schedule, who you play when you play them matters. There's injuries, there's timing, there's everything. And we lost winnable games. And there were games where the guy just didn't show up. So all this talking like the Bears did him wrong, what were we supposed to do? So now the top pick lands into our lap, not once, but 2 years in a fucking row. What do you want him to do? Just keep Justin. You got to. You give him more. You gave him more from the previous year, and he threw for the same amount of yards he did the year before. I think we've seen enough. In comparison to what's coming out, I think you've seen enough. So all this shitting on Pose and shitting on the Bears, it's okay. When Caleb comes in and performs like we expect him to, we won't even have to listen to that bullshit no more. And I truly do hope Justin Fields figures it out. Because trust me, I wanted this dude to be a Bear. But when I don't even know if you can remember, after the first three games of the season, then you could roll back, you could pull the tape from my podcast. I was in a shithole because I was like, dude, we're in trouble. Because I'm watching Justin, I'm just like, we don't have an offense. This dude's just holding the ball. He won't rip it. We was in trouble. Just saying.
Yep. Do you feel better? Got that out?
Feel better, man.
So, I guess it's time for me to have some kind of comment on the comments. I guess it's time for me to say something. We started off the show with JB, and he very eloquently, very accurately displayed the emotions and the frustrations of Cowboy Nation, and I really didn't feel the need to add anything. And I did. And I've enjoyed listening to all three of you guys. I've enjoyed the happiness in Pittsburgh, the happiness in Chicago, and my brother's analysis. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it immensely. And as I imagine, probably take a few weeks off and maybe come back. I think we should come back for the draft. In fact, I know we should come back and do a show for the draft. And we can talk about if we do one. Do we want to do one before the draft? Or we want to just wait till after the draft? My gut says let's just let the draft happen and then come back and talk about, okay, gone through free agency, we've gone through the draft, how do these rosters shape up with what we saw? But in the meantime, I think that people, everybody has missed something very, very key when it comes to the Cowboys. And everybody talks about all in, all in, all in. And what did Jerry mean? Said all in. And Jerry hasn't done anything, and the team hasn't done anything. And it's been very frustrating to watch every team do something while Dallas resigns their long snap, right? But people missed when he said all in what else he said. He said all in. We're going to be all in. And then Stephen Jones a few days ago said, nobody said that all in meant that we were going to spend a lot of money in free agency. And if you look at our history, we're not big in free agency. But, yes, we are still all in. And we're defining all in as making sure that we take care of Dak, Micah, CD, Diggs, you know, the core great players we have. That's how we look at all in. That's what Stephen Jones said. Okay. Well, people are missing it, Jerry Jones said. And go back and find a clip. I didn't have time to do it, but he said, we are not looking past 2024. He said, we are not building for the future. We are building for next year. Now, that's my problem. Because if you're not looking past 2024, then what the fuck are you doing? Because to me, it looks like you're still worried about salary cap down the road and contracts down the road, and you're trying not to mortgage the future, and you're trying to figure out ways to keep your superstars and then bring in bargain basement players to supplement the roster, which is kind of what Dallas has done relatively well, but not well enough to do anything major in the postseason. So bottom line is this, and I thought long and hard about this. I am too loyal to turn my back on Dallas. I'm too loyal to, you know, give up my team. Entire life, I've never felt so disillusioned by a franchise as I feel right now by these Cowboys. When I heard Derrick Henry get interviewed, and they said, and he said, Dallas did not call me. Derrick Henry lives in Dallas. He's lived in Dallas for years. Works out there in the off season. You didn't call him? You didn't even take a swing? You didn't even make a call to say, here's what we could offer you? Here, you know, maybe, you know, whatever the case may be. You didn't even try? What are you doing? Saquon was too expensive. I don't care about Saquon. He gets hurt anyway. He'll be hurt by week 5 or 6. I'm not worried about Saquon. I'm really not. And Saquon hasn't been a Cowboy herder. You know, he hasn't been a Cowboy killer like Aaron Jones. So I'm not worried about Saquon. He's going to Philly, I'm not worried about that. But you didn't call Derrick Henry, who literally, they timed it, from the star where the Cowboys work out and the team has their practice, the star facility, Derrick Henry's house is 18 minutes. That's how far he lives from the facility. 18 minutes. You can phone up to just find out. You didn't call his agent. You didn't say, hey, just curious. We know he's worth boom, but would he consider boom? What are you doing, Dallas? What are you doing? So I have not a lot to say because I've never felt this way before. I've watched, as my brother very accurately said, player after player up and leave and go to Washington to go be with Dan Quinn. What does that tell you? Leighton Vander Esch retired. We kind of saw that coming. He's had a neck issue. And when he got hurt this year and they said it was the next thing, it was pretty clear that he was going to retire. But to look at the number of players that Dallas has lost and a bulk of them to your division rival who has your defensive coordinator, and these guys just jumped ship and went over there, huh? And as we sit here right now, you have no center, no running back. You did sign Eric Kendrick, so you got a middle linebacker. But those positions are lacking. So I'm going to wait and see what Dallas does. I hope you bring back Stephon Gilmore because he's still out there. But you need a running back. You need at least 2 offensive linemen. And, Jonathan Hankins left. He signed with, I don't even remember, but he's gone. So there was your run-stopping defensive tackle. He's gone. So, look, I'm aggravated. I'm annoyed. I'm irritated. But I was not going to come on here today and act a fool. Because I'm going to wait and see. But I'll tell you what, it's coming. If I don't see this team do something significant to show us that they're all in, to show us that they're not just conceding the division, to show us that this isn't going to be a rebuilding year and all that bullshit, if you don't do something between now and September, scorched earth from Commissioner T is coming. And let me be clear. It is a rant
that is pending. I am putting it on hold. I was going to do it tonight, decided to wait. Like, you, none of you, not even my own blood brother who's on the call, none of you will have ever heard what I will say about this team if I don't see, show me something, Dallas. Show me that you're in it to win it, like Pittsburgh, like Chicago, like Philly, like so many other teams. Show me that you're in it to win it, and then I will save you my scorched earth. But if not, oh, y'all going to get lit up good. Let me tell you, it's going to be epic. It's going to be so epic, I would be shocked if somebody else out there doesn't catch wind of it. I'll be shocked if it doesn't go viral. Matter of fact, I will videotape it and put it on YouTube. That's how epic this rant's going to be. But I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And we'll see what happens. That's it. That's all I got. All right. Gentlemen, before we say goodnight, anything else? Any other comments, any other thoughts?
Just to not give Derrick Henry a call is, like, really, really bad. Obviously, you already touched on it, but that's shocking to not inquire because he would have been a really good fit, obviously. You all know that. I didn't know he lived in Dallas, so that's even worse. So,
oh, it's terrible.
It really is.
You know, you call and
another thing. Go ahead.
That's fine, but you don't even test the water.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
That's crazy. Yeah. And, like, here's the thing. I get how teams have their philosophies, and don't get me wrong, the Steelers have had theirs too, where we've been patient and wait, but sometimes you got to attack. And this year the Steelers have attacked in ways they haven't historically. And, you know, like, sometimes when things aren't working or you haven't won in a while, certainly Steelers haven't. Obviously Cowboys haven't between the two of us. I mean, sometimes you got to change it up a little bit, you know. And so hopefully the Cowboys make some big – there's still some guys out there that can definitely impact the landscape for them. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Only the thing I got to add is RG3 is a dumbass.
RG3?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Real dumbass.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And Deion, man, I wish him all the best at Colorado. But stop giving takes. Just stop. Just don't give anymore. Still my guy. Well, RG3 is dumb. I promise you, man.
You know,
outside
of that, I am so proud of Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark, contract expired a few weeks ago, and he knew what he was worth, and he, you know, for lack of better terms, held out. It's not really the same, but he was not going to sign for less than what he was worth. He was prepared to walk, and he was literally off TV for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. While they were talking, and he literally just said, well, we'll see what happens. And they re-signed him for 3 years. He's very happy with he's one of the higher paid ones now. And this morning I actually saw him hosting Get Up for, I think was the first time. And so I'm really happy to see, you know, ESPN guy with his talent and give him more. Shannon Sharp, very talented, give him more. But there are some of these guys that, and RG3 is one, they should just shut the fuck up. RG3, Chris Canty, Bart Scott, some of these guys just fucking, I don't get it. I watch Unsportsmanlike in the morning, comes on 6 o'clock, ESPN2, Chris Canty. Most of what he says is garbage. Once in a while, he'll come out with something that's, you know, decent. But most of what he said, the thing with Chris Canty is he's 6'8", 330 pounds. So he talks with a lot of authority. But you sound stupid, bro. I wish he would shut the fuck up. Bart Scott is a complete idiot. There's very little that Bart says that I agree with. He's a complete idiot. And I don't know what happened to RG. RG3 used to be better. He's gone off the deep end. I don't know what it is now. I think these guys watch Stephen A. Smith and think Stephen A. Smith has built his niche. He's built his persona. You can't just come on and be him. You can't do that. He's over years and years, he has built this character. And it is a character. It's a character that he's built. And it's making him millions and millions of dollars, and God bless him for it. But y'all can't do what he does. Y'all got to do what Ryan is doing. Ryan has created the Ryan Clark character. Shannon Sharp has Club Shay Shay, and he's Unk. That's his character, you know? You watch Ocho Cinco. It's so goddamn funny. Y'all watch Nightcap. Watch Chad Ocho Cinco.
I actually caught it yesterday, man. That dude is stupid, man.
He is so stupid. And he's so fucking funny, though. He's hilarious, man. Okay, you know, but there's characters that these guys have developed and are developing. You got to do what The Rock said a long time ago. The Rock said, you know why people connect with me? Because I'm myself with the volume turned up. That's what these guys got to figure out. How to be yourself, but just turn the volume up for TV. And some of these guys can't figure that out. But that's what they need to do if you want to connect. But some of these guys are just morons. They're just idiots. But, yeah. All right.
I mean,
JB, we have JB still there?
Yeah, I was about to comment, but I didn't want to jump in because I wanted to hear what you had to say about Ryan Clark and the rest of them. And like I told y'all before, I had a chance to meet him real quick at the airport. I saw him. I think he was heading back to Connecticut, and saw him in first class. Saw him when he got off the plane, and just gave him his props for a great job he's doing. This was several years ago. He was just getting started. So to see him progress from where he was then, and he was doing a really good job then, to see where he's at now. And still seems to, from what I can tell, have his sense of humility about what he does. I'm really happy for him. I'm really happy to see that. So congrats to him and getting that new contract. But a lot of these folks out there is more gimmick than substance. And at some point, the substance is going to win out. It's just a matter of time. It's not an if, it's a when. So their days may be numbered because they're not bringing what they need to bring. Nobody wants to see a whole bunch of fluff. After a while, that stuff gets tired. So we'll see what happens when they get washed to the wayside. Are they going to be picked up by somebody else? Or is it going to be forgotten? Real curious to see.
Well said.
I guess RG3 is reminiscent of how he got treated in Washington.
Washington knew something because they drafted Kirk Cousins' draft. And
call that out immediately. That was probably your best take ever, honestly, when you call that out and pointed out that there was something to that.
You did call that one.
I remember.
Still getting new contracts to this day.
Still making as much money quarterback in the NFL. Well, RG3 is sitting there wanting to play because I've heard him a couple of times when quarterbacks went down and he was like, you know, I'm still in shape, you know, I'm still in shape. Well, good luck with that. Good luck.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Hey, you out there racing hawks and shit, you know, trying to act like you're doing something. Okay. Good luck with that. I mean, you're a track star. Okay. You can run fast. Big deal. You know, who cares? Anyway. All right. Well, let's wrap up and, we'll come back around draft time. And, you know, obviously, guys, we can come back anytime. That's the beauty of having this venue. If something major happens and we need to come on and talk about it, we have the ability to do that. If not, we'll take a few weeks off, come back in April. Maybe K-Star and I should come on and do a WrestleMania show. Something to think about.
I'd be down, bro. I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Maybe we should.
Yeah. I told my girl, I said that weekend, that first weekend in April, that's Saturday night and Sunday night. I'm busy. I'm tied up.
Yeah, I don't want to go the same thing.
Yeah, sorry. All right, final thoughts. Go ahead, K-Star, keep the mic and any closing thoughts, final thoughts.
Yeah, Patrick Queen, what a dream signing him. About to be a Keen in Pittsburgh. Really excited. He's embracing the villain role with the Ravens fans. Everything you wish you would see as a Steelers fan is happening this offseason. Really excited for the lead up to the draft. I'm going to miss Deontay Johnson. We traded him, but, you know, I think with Omar Khan, we have a really good plan in place, and we're already seeing some of that play out this offseason, so I'm excited to see where the rest of it goes.
Okay, cool. JB,
Final thoughts?
Already belabored the point on the Cowboys, so I'm going to talk about another team real quick that has kind of gone on the radar a little bit. We didn't discuss them, but that's the other Texas team, the Texans themselves, and what they've been able to do in free agency thus far. Very impressed with what's going on down there. They had a great season with C.J. Stroud, got into the playoffs, and they're really taking that momentum into free agency. So we talk about teams to watch for all star beloved teams, but all 32 teams, that's one that's on the radar, and I think they're getting people's attention each and every day. So real curious to see how they do and how they progress just as a pure football fan.
Okay. And certainly not the least of all, but the very excited Dr. Train, final thoughts.
Man, I wish JF won the best down there in Steelertown. I'm still a fan of Mike Tomlin, so he's in a good spot, but in the Windy City, we all in on 13. Let's go, baby.
Okay. Two quick thoughts. Leighton Vander Esch retired. I touched on it earlier, but, hey, man, you were a very good player for Dallas, gave it everything you had, right type of player, right type of person. Just sad that your career getting cut way too short. Because of the neck injury that you had, there was questions on whether you could come back and play. You rehabbed it. They gave you a clean bill of health. You came back. You did well. But then you had that, you know, hit again this year. And, you know, you're doing the right thing, you know, retiring. And, you know, whatever it is you do, I know you're going to be just as great off the field as you were on the field. I really think had you not had a neck injury, you were a budding superstar. You were just a great player, a great leader, and the Cowboy Nation will miss you no matter what. If we had won the Super Bowl last year, we would miss you, you know, and just want to just thank you for your loyalty and your commitment to the Cowboys. Wolf Hunter, that was his nickname, Leighton Vander Esch, Wolf Hunter. So wish you well in retirement, and hope to see you on one of these shows, man. You know, you're a smart young guy. Hope to see you. I think you would bring a nice, diverse kind of energy and talent to one of these shows and something. So if that's your path, I don't know what it is you're going to do, but if that's it, looking forward to seeing you, in the future. And, you know, as irritated as I am at Dallas, I have to congratulate the NFL for just remaining to be so relevant. I mean, we are on the brink of March Madness, right? We've got the men's tournament, and will UConn repeat? Go Huskies. We've got the women's tournament coming up with USC and LSU and Caitlin Clark at Iowa, and Huskies in lurking there, not quite as dominant as they were back in the day, but still relevant. And, you know, March Madness is such a big event, and it's about to take over the sports world. If you watch any of the sports shows, NFL is still being talked about. NFL is still being referenced. It's still getting significant airtime. We are literally, 2 days from, I think Thursday's the first, or is it tomorrow? Is it tomorrow or Thursday that the first few games for the college tournament? Like, we're right there. And yet, turn on SportsCenter, and you're going to hear them talking NFL. Too. It's basketball season. They got 15 games left in the regular season, roughly. Maybe 20. No, I think it's more like 20 games. 20 games left in the regular season, and then it's playoff time. Okay, so you got basketball season about to, you know, end in the next few weeks and get in the playoffs. You got March Madness, and you're still hearing football talk. Congratulations to the NFL for being so – it is March. It is near the end of March, and we're talking football. We're never on the air in March. We're on the air talking about relevant stuff. Stuff that's happening as we speak. So I have to give credit where credit is due for the NFL for being really a year-round sport where at virtually any time of the year you can find stuff going on, something to talk about, something to excite you, something going on with your team, something going on with the league. It's amazing. So congratulations to the NFL. We look forward to the draft. So, and the last thing I'll say, Dallas, do something. So for Dr. Train,
for K-Star and for my brother, JB. Thank you all. Thank you guys for coming on and doing a special edition of the Bad Boys. We will be back next month right around draft time. Might be back a little bit sooner. I'm going to get up with K-Star. We might do a WrestleMania show. WrestleMania 40 is coming up. The Rock is the big star that will be there, so we might do that. In the meantime, everybody take care. Enjoy spring is here. Got here today. Enjoy it, and we will catch up with you soon. Good night, everybody.